Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. This morning we look at how the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord, is described in Philippians 2, 5 to 11, the Christ hymn. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us, which announces to us even this day that Jesus our Lord is risen from the grave. Bless us as we meditate on that word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is the high point of the Christ hymn in Philippians 2. It's the high point of the whole of the book of Philippians. It's the high point of the New Testament, the high point of the Bible, and really the high point of our entire lives if we have eyes to see how significant this event really is. Paul's already described in Philippians 2 the downward trajectory of Jesus Christ from heaven to earth, from glory to humility, from being in the form of God to being in the form of a servant, becoming obedient even to the point of death on a cross. Now Paul goes to great lengths to describe the upward trajectory of Jesus. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. And these final few verses of the Christ hymn describe what we could call Jesus' exaltation, his coming back up out of the grave and also his ascension into heaven. Firstly, today I want to look at the resurrection of Jesus. Secondly, the name that is above every name. And finally, the confession that Jesus is Lord. Firstly, the resurrection of Jesus. It really is a miracle. It can really only be described as the work of God. As one commentator puts it, people do not ordinarily rise from the dead, which is exactly the point of Easter. This is not normal, nor do Christians claim that it's normal, nor did the early church expect something like this to happen, nor that. There was great distress at the death of Jesus. There was great sadness at the cross. There was great confusion, uncertainty, even turmoil among the followers of Jesus Christ. Why? Because people do not ordinarily rise from the dead. But here we have in one of the earliest Christian writings from around 60 AD, reference to Jesus' resurrection. Here we have this very early and incredibly deep conviction and confession of the early church that Jesus had in fact come back to life. There's something about coming back. There's something about a comeback which is very special if you think of any person, any sporting team that returns from certain defeat to claim a great victory. And there are two occasions that stand out to me that I'd like to share with you, both from 1996. So the first was a one-day cricket match between Australia and the West Indies that happened on New Year's Day. Some of you may remember it. The Australians were chasing a very modest total of 173, but had slumped to 6 for 38 due to a rampaging Curtly Ambrose. If you remember what an imposing figure Curtly Ambrose was. The Aussies had very little hope of recovery when a little-known batsman by the name of Michael Bevan came to the crease. For 2.5 hours, he clawed Australia back into the game until the final ball, with no wickets in hand, Glenn McGrath up the other end, who wasn't going to be much help, and needing 4 runs to win, he struck the ball back over the bowler's head for 4, claiming a very unlikely victory. I still get a bit emotional when I think about it. The other great comeback that year, which you may remember even more so, was Kieran Perkins in the 1500-metre freestyle at the Olympic Games in Atlanta. If you remember, Kieran Perkins was in bad form at the time. Everyone thought he was very well past his best swimming. He failed to qualify for the 400 metres. He wasn't even the highest ranking Australian in the 1500 metres. He struggled through the qualifiers. He made it into the final just in the last position by about 0.25 seconds. And then if you remember the final, he absolutely blitzed the field. He went out like a bull at a gate in water, and he never looked back. He beat his closest rival by at least 6 seconds, which is a significant amount in any swimming race. Now, what's interesting to me about these two great comebacks is that I remember the exact time and place that I was watching or listening to them. One occasion, I was in a motel room with my brothers on a road trip watching this cricket match and staying up late. The other, I was in the back seat of my parents' Holden Commodore listening to it on the radio, hearing Kieran Perkins' victory. Why? Why do those moments stand out in my mind? I think it's because they were so unexpected, so out of the ordinary, and yet they were happening, and the excitement of the commentators and the joy of the occasion is cemented in my memory. The first witnesses of the resurrection knew that what they were seeing and experiencing and reporting was something out of the ordinary, the greatest comeback of all time. They knew their lives would never be the same again, and what we have in the New Testament is their commentary on this event that's been passed down from generation to generation to generation. Secondly, the name that is above every other name. How the resurrection means that Jesus has this incredible and exalted name from God. If we go back to Philippians 2, if you notice here, the emphasis on the name of Jesus. God gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bend. Now, in those days, someone's name was not just how people addressed them, although it was that, but it was also their character and their reputation. Like when we might say, she's really made a name for herself. It's the person's reputation. Or like when we might say, you know, he's really ruined his good name. We're talking about the not just how we address the person, but their whole being, their whole reputation, what we know of them, their character. And so too with Jesus. The point here is that Jesus' name, his reputation, his character has been elevated by God, given great honor, given great esteem. In John 20, at the tomb, Jesus says, Mary, to Mary, and that's the moment. That's the moment the penny drops for her. That's the moment she realizes and recognizes him as her Lord. He knows my name. He knows my name. And of course, the confession of Scripture is that God knows your name. God knows my name. Such is his name. So powerful and mighty, such is his reputation and his character, elevated above everything, that he knows even us. Yes, it should make us think twice about how we use the name of God. Yes, it should make us think twice about how we uphold the reputation of God when we speak about him with others. And how we uphold the reputation of each other, as we learn in the 8th commandment. But above all, it should humble us to know that we who bear the name of Christ have been given the same honor and the same esteem that God has given his Son, Jesus. A quote from C.S. Lewis, I promise this is the last time. C.S. Lewis writes, "To be loved by God, not merely pitied, but loved by God, delighted in, as an artist delights in his work or a father in his son, it seems impossible, it seems a weight of glory which our thoughts can hardly sustain, but so it is. And glory means a good report with God, acceptance by God, response, acknowledgement, and welcome into the heart of things. It means that the door on which we have long been knocking will open at last." Jesus' exaltation means your exaltation. His honor means your honor. His glory is your glory. This is the message of the gospel, that everything that happens in the resurrection of Christ happens for you and is handed on to you and passed over and is yours. Even the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That leads us to confess his name, which is to acknowledge our faith in him and to rejoice in his victory over death. Now, Paul says that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Willingly or unwillingly, this is the future to which we are all heading, but it begins now. It's given me great joy to confess Christ with you over these past 6 years. It gives me great comfort knowing that we'll continue to share in this confession of faith, whether here in Mount Barker or 1,500 kilometres away in Central Australia. It gives me great hope to know that whatever the future holds for us, we will remain united with you in this common confession that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every time we say the creed, every time we have communion, every time we gather for worship, we are united in him. So may the peace of God, who brought back from the dead that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with every good thing you need to do his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the witness, the news, the commentary on the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that you would lead us deeper in our understanding and our faith in him, that you would help us to acknowledge this name that is above every name and to share in confessing his name with one another and before the world. In his name we pray. Amen.